Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Viewer Town. I'm your host, Gorilla. We have Mighty Germ. And Today we have a special guest. Some of you might know him, some of you might not. His name is Bunzo. Say hi.
Hello.
What was that?
I said hello.
So today on the docket, we're going to be talking about community as a whole and how people, VTubers in specifically, interact with each other, the value of self-worth, people's outlook on career versus hobby, and how it all ties into their mental state when they see people in the community act certain ways.
When we have so much of this, like this VTuber public perception is basically based on your CCV, your viewer count, and a bit, you know, to your skills. You know, artists and other things get a lot of credit for their abilities, but it really, so much of it comes down to how many viewers you can pull, and that's basically where you stand in this like pecking order, so to speak.
Yeah, people put a lot of value on how, like, their numbers and stuff in every regard. Like, if you have like a low, if you have like a high Twitter follower account, it gets to your head, or it gets to other people's head too. Some people don't realize, like, sometimes it subconsciously affects you, sometimes it doesn't, but and there's like a lot of public perception regarding, like, oh, this person has 10k followers on Twitter, that must, I mean, that probably means they're like a big shot, even though
they're so important,
even
right?
They have like 20 viewers or something like that. They're like really bad numbers, but you don't see the bad number, you just see the big number that's in front of you.
So, like, Bunzel, right, you're a VTuber. When you first started out, how much importance did you put on like your viewer account? Did that ever get into your head?
I would say that other people's viewer accounts have been into my head more than my own. I would say that at the very start, I found it very exciting to have a fairly active chat. But as things went on, if it gets slower, then that is going to affect you. But that's more of a, it's more of a how active is my chat kind of thing, opposed to the actual physical number. But there have been cases where there were people that I wanted to get to know, and I wanted to get to know them better, but I didn't want to look like I was clout chasing. Those kind of things will affect anyone, I think. But I do typically talk to pretty much anyone as if they're an equal, regardless of your account.
Yeah, and it's a good thing you brought that up, because that's like a very big, prominent issue, is some people don't want to, you know, be seen like a bother or be seen like as a leech by interacting with somebody bigger than them, even though there are very good reason to, or not, maybe not like good reason to, but there is like a thing that you could interact on that probably would benefit the both of you or benefit somebody, but you don't want to bother that person because they have like a much bigger following than you do.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, you definitely, I've heard VTubers talk about this before, where they want to collaborate and talk with people who share their interests, who would, you know, play the same games as them, you know, do art or whatever. But instead it turns into this like, oh, I'm like a 10, you know, viewer VTuber and they're 100 and I can't talk to them, right? Or I'd be bothering them or so on and so forth. And I think that just kind of kills, you know, so much, you know, potential there as well.
Yeah. And this goes to everything, is that you see somebody bigger doing something that's similar to you, you feel like, should I even bother? Or you start out and you see somebody else that's already in your niche that you want, and they're doing it better, they've been there longer, you don't want to feel like you're just copycatting them, or, you know, trying to capitalize on what they got to.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I've also seen in a lot of cases, it's a lot easier for people to reach down than it is to reach up. But it is harder for somebody who does have a higher CCV typically to reach down because they can't find these people. They're not always looking for these people that are just starting out. Like, because I have a kind of a weird niche with the fishing thing. I've met a lot of people that were just starting out who had a fishing theme or fishing niche that I probably wouldn't have found otherwise if I wasn't particularly looking for that niche. So for people who have less of a niche content, they're less likely to find somebody who has similar interests that is just starting out, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because there's not a ton of creativity in the, you know, VTuber space. And I'm not saying this as some sort of like, you know, screed against them or anything, but
There's only so many things you can do.
Yeah, there's only so many things that you do. Like the vast majority of VTubers play games, and there's, you know, there's so many popular games, right? So there's not a ton of, you know, differentiation in the VTuber space. There's just not that many different things that they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have even, it's just a weird small niche or anything like that, you can also use that to meet a lot of people. Like, for example, people would notice that I exist at all. So if they ever want to know anything about fishing games or anything, they'll just like message me and be like, hey, what's a good game that I can play with my viewers kind of thing, right?
Right. I think the first time I actually talked to you was about a fishing game, if I remember this correctly.
That could be the case. I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. Some time ago. Right.
I think there's like a situation where I wanted to add like to what I was saying, what people feel like they're copying a niche. I remember there was this like retro streamer who voiced their opinion on like, there is already a bunch of retro streamers and they're doing very well. I don't want to be another one and feel like I'm just copying them.
Just like bandwagoning or something.
Yeah, like bandwagon. But I don't know. It just feels weird because we talk about there's only so many things you can do, but there's actually a lot of ways you can do it.
Absolutely. Retro gaming is a much larger niche as well.
Yeah. Like her taste in games is completely different than these people that she was mentioning. And I think people really put down, people see like look at the big picture. Like I'm a retro streamer, she's a retro streamer, so I'm copying her. But they don't look at like the little details like, oh, I only really like 90s games. And this person is more into like, I don't know, the late 90s, like the PS1 era, and I'm into SNES or arcade games. Like they don't look at that kind of detail where, you know, there's a bunch of people who play shooters, but they play different ones.
Yeah, and plus, like, even if they were playing like the same kind of subgenre of games, like the vibe between streamers is completely different, right? Like you would have ones that like, you know, they're taking the games very seriously. They're trying to speed run. They're trying to do challenges and so on and so forth. You have ones that are doing it, you know, doing blind runs, right? They're playing some of these, for example, retro games for the first time, and it's about exploring or whatnot. And there's some that are just, you know, really community focused or really chat focused. And they're just like, you know, we're just hanging out, playing some games, talking, chatting about whatever. There's just so many ways you can interact by playing the same game, you know?
And the thing about interacting is people don't realize that everybody probably has something that they could offer to somebody. Like it might not be the level of significance is different, but this person started interacting with one of the people that they mentioned that they thought they were copying, and now they both mutually benefit from a shared audience and they pull in different kinds of people because they're two different people. So everybody kind of, you think it might feel weird at first, but then you realize it's all like things work out. Yeah. So to speak.
It's kind of strange because there's a lot of nuance to this, like, you know, this collaboration or like viewer sharing thing, right? Like, you'll see, like, one of the reasons people join corporations is because of that, right? It's because they can kind of leverage the shared viewer base, leverage their coworkers for, you know, extra, you know, just like maybe they just raid into each other or whatnot and just get more eyeballs on their content.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody draws a different crowd. But you could, within like a corporation, you could recycle through that audience.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see, obviously, these VTubers that, you know, collab a lot and, you know, they're promoting each other's streams often, you'll see the same names in chat, you know, over and over again, right?
Yeah. But the thing about corporations, though, is actually, I wanted to talk about, like, the sharing of viewers. I wonder how many people see that as, like, a negative. Like, I know that goes back to, like, what we were talking about, like, the mental state or, like, the perception of things. I wonder how many people will see that as, like, fear that these people might stick with that person if they share them too much.
Do you mean from the VTuber side or from the audience's side of seeing all these shared viewers?
VTuber side.
That is a question. That is certainly a question. I would say that for the most part, you don't really have to worry about that. Especially in a larger circle, you will typically cycle through many of the same people and they'll come back to you eventually for certain.
Yeah.
If you watch somebody for a long time, you're going to eventually get tired of them, even if they are like one of your favorites.
Right. Definitely.
So having a second choice on the side and then having a second choice after that and a second choice after that and a second choice after that becomes your first choice in the start.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, everybody gets bored of something at some point. That's just how it is. But if you like something, chances are you're probably going to like it for a long time, even if you're not constantly, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Always,
yeah, and this applies to things other than streamers as well. Like, if you look at all the games you used to play, for example, every now and then you'll want to revisit, I don't know, like Skyrim or something, I suppose.
Yeah, and you'll feel maybe a rejuvenated love for it. And that,
yeah, absolutely. You could end up playing it for another 3 months or something before going on to something else again.
And I think that's like another perception that people don't realize is that you're always going to be bleeding viewers, but
yeah, it's where you bleed them
through
too.
No fault
that's
of your
trick.
Own. Yeah, it's like they're just going to naturally, you know, move on.
Yeah, if you isolate yourself because you feel that your viewers will leave you and you will not have new viewers to bleed into you. That's really a problem, I think, with some people's mindsets on how these work.
I think a core of that is, like, I kind of held this viewpoint for a long time, was like, from a viewership perspective, you know, like viewers seem like a zero-sum game, right? Where I only have so much time in a day to watch, you know, VTubers, for example. So if I'm watching one VTuber, I'm not watching the other. Now, you know, I would get rated. I would watch people who collab and coordinate with each other. By the end of the day, it's, you know, my Twitch following list is like 100 people long and I'm only really watching one.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably have around 400 or 450 people that are on my list. Ooh. It's ridiculous, actually. It's because I watch them around the clock. Weird sleep schedule. So I meet a lot of different people because of that, which is kind of an interesting unique trait for me, actually, thinking about it. But not really relevant. What was I about to say? Oh my god! What were we just talking about?
We were just talking about the viewers having limited time to watch VTubers. You know, like watch one at a time.
So one of the really interesting things about the bleeding of viewers and whatnot, I've known a lot of people who are really paranoid about losing their viewers, so they won't raid people that are quote unquote better than them or, you know, have a larger viewership, things like that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the algorithm doesn't give a shit what you feel about this other person. So usually with the algorithm, how it works out, whether it's on YouTube or Twitch, the algorithms will see that you as a person are watching this person and other people that watch this person also watch this other person, right? So this is a little bit harder to explain, I think, just through voice, but I think it's gonna get through.
I mean, it's just like a recommendation system on Amazon or something. It's like people who bought this item also liked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the item could be better or worse, but they don't care though.
Yeah. It's a very, very blunt system. So if you raid into people that your viewers will actually like and stick around for, regardless of if they actually end up dropping you for this person, you will be recommended to their viewers as somebody that watches both, you know?
Yeah.
Because their viewers watch you, your viewers watch them. It just works. Everybody goes up. Everyone in the group goes up.
And that goes back to like the whole bleeding viewers thing, is that it might go the other way around as well. Like those people might, see you, and then they start watching you, and that person has to like come up with their own strategy to replace those viewers by, getting more eyes on them.
Right. Yeah. I think a huge part of that we're not talking about is like marketing is a huge, a huge part of VTubing, in terms of there's so many VTubers out there. You often hear about them by word of mouth or through social media or whatever. So even if I stopped watching this certain VTuber, I'm still following their Twitter. I still know about them. I still could recommend other people to watch them, even if I don't watch them anymore, you know? So it's just important to have people in, even if a viewer passes by, and watches your stream for a week, they are aware of you, know of you.
Yeah, like, and tastes change in ways that you might not expect, because I start watching people that I never thought I would be watching just because I see them on the sidebar all the time.
Yeah, once they hit that following, and then every time I'm on Twitch, I see what they're playing. And sometimes it's, hey, maybe they have, the title's interesting, the game's interesting, and I'll just pop in, even if I haven't watched them in months.
Yeah.
But I think it gets back to that sort of like that issue that I've heard, VTubers have, where, they'll have a regular, they get really attached to maybe like talking to them in chat or whatever. They leave, they may see that person in their friend's chat or whatever and think that they did something to lose that viewer, right? That it's their failing, that made that person move on, when oftentimes it has absolutely nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'll actually see this pretty often because of the weird schedule thing, where I'll see a viewer that you usually see watching somebody around like 10 a.m. or something, and they'll just suddenly shift over to like 7 p.m. at night. A lot of these people are working shift work, and those shifts rotate. So even if you get attached to these people, their lives do not have anything to do with your schedule.
Exactly. I actually had a VTuber ask me once, you weren't showing up anymore. You just wondered what they were doing wrong or whatever. I just said, it's scheduling. Like,
it's my 100% life. It's scheduling. My life that's wrong.
Yeah. It's 100% scheduling. I can't, I can't watch VTubers all day. I have, work and other responsibilities, and, those shift around. I just can't watch your stream. And there's nothing you could really do about it unless you change your schedule completely just to fit my taste, which is, of course, ridiculous.
You physically can't make it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you could be a regular in somebody's chat for 3 weeks before your schedule changes, and then you just can't see them for like 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Although this also, it kind of, there's a little another wrinkle to this, because I've also stopped watching people because the VTuber schedule has become inconsistent,
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it goes both ways. Really.
Yeah, it definitely goes both ways. Like, I have a limited amount of time to watch, content like this, so I'll plan ahead, I'll be home from work this day, or I don't have anything to do at night. I'll have, I'll try to watch this stream at this time, right? And if someone doesn't have a schedule or is constantly changing their schedule, that makes me not as inclined to watch them. I can't fit that into my life that easily.
Yeah, for some people, scheduling is really important. But I think that for most people, they just kind of turn on and see whatever's on. Mm-hmm. Outside of special events, I never really plan ahead to see something. No. Unless I know something that I'm very interested in is going to happen, in which case I just consider it a special event.
Yeah, I guess that checks out as well.
Also, that's an active chatter problem. Us lurkers just put it in the background regardless of time and place.
But no, actually, Bunzel, you bring up a really good point that I haven't really considered in terms of viewers, right? There are viewers that, like you said, you know, it's, you know, 7 o'clock, it's time for me to put my feet up, you know, turn on the Twitch and see who's, you know, streaming at this time, right? So they're watching at a certain time slot, and they're going to pick, you know, between the available options. While some people are, out of all choices of entertainment I have, VTubing is one of them. And if I see or hear something, or maybe something was scheduled from a VTuber I like, I'll watch it, or something interesting I like, I'll watch it. But otherwise, I might do something else entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely a lot of cases where people will just be like, VTubing is not that important to me. Streamers are not that important to me. They are television.
Right.
I do not watch them because I want to see them. I watch them because I'm bored. That's what a lot of people feel. Honestly, it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people will watch a streamer on the second monitor or something because they just want some background noise while they play like RimWorld or something, and they're not really paying attention. They might just like the person and want to support them. Yeah, and you don't even have a Twitch account.
Shut up. And I wouldn't be playing RimWorld either.
I play a lot of RimWorld when I'm watching streams, actually.
I think that can definitely cause issues. I know some VTubers that have, like, you know, a kind of like healthy, you know, viewer count for where they're at, but their chat's dead, and then they end up being really self-conscious about it. While there could be a bunch of people just enjoying them talking while I'm, you know, working on the other monitor or something. But to them, absolutely, it's like it's a failure because, oh, people aren't talking to me, my chat's not active.
And that so is something so that I have certainly felt in the past. Like, I actually keep my number count visible for myself. This is something that a lot of people think is kind of a bad idea, but I honestly feel a little bit better if I see that number count go up, even if the chat is silent. Otherwise, I feel super lonely, and it's really bad.
Yeah, most people say that they hide that.
Yeah, most people will hide it, but that's because they have an active chat. If you are somebody who streams at irregular hours, and a lot of people tune in just to listen to your voice, you can feel very lonely very quickly, depending on what you're doing.
I certainly don't know how, and this is like one of the reasons I'll never be a VTuber, is I don't know how you can stand like keeping active and engaged for hours and hours without someone talking to you, right? Without yes. having a ton of dead air. And it not just the skill, but just like the mental toll it takes on you, you know? You know, to be talking into a mic for hours and maybe with no response.
Especially if there's people who are constantly talking down about having collabs and stuff, when really that can be your only option in many cases for these people to not be extremely lonely. Because unless you're above like 30 people, you're not really going to have that many people in chat. And oftentimes it's going to be only one or two people in chat, and it'll be one of your mods or one of your VIPs or someone, you know, one of your like big super fans.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, speaking of that, like how many times have you been in the chat and you were like the only one talking to this VTuber? They're perking up, they're all excited, and then you might feel trapped, right?
Because then you have to leave.
Then you have to leave and make them feel bad, or you're like, you're gonna stick around and like, oh, I can't just like, you know, listen to it, right? I'm gonna have to, they keep asking me questions. I need to keep answering. And I know this is sort of that mental thing where it's like you're not really obligated to do this, but you might feel bad if you kind of like leave them in the middle of them, you know, asking you a question and you just vanish.
I want
to
bring up,
usually I will say goodbye if I have to leave and they'll understand.
Okay, man, I've seen people complain about that, like if you're gonna leave, just leave, don't say goodbye. And it's like, who?
I'm one of the three people here, I probably should say goodbye. I'm going to say it.
Yeah. And it's like,
one of those views is probably them on their phone.
Like, but I would see somebody like complain about that, and I'm like, so you just like what kind of message does that send of a VTuber complains about that?
I think it's very much like a size of the chat thing, right? If you're like one of three people talking, you can say goodbye. But if you're like, you know, it's like a 40, 50 person chat and specifically talking to you, then maybe that, you know, that can be kind of seen as out of place.
Honestly, I disagree. I think that there's no reason to not say goodbye. You can always say, I hope you have a good night. I'm going to go now.
Greetings.
Have a great stream. There's nothing wrong with saying that to someone. People who get Manhara about that are very silly, I think. I'll leave it at that.
Do you mean from the viewer side or VTuber side? Because as a, like a viewer, I think it's like too presumptuous of me to say goodbye, right? Like I'm like, it's like,
well,
too,
I, like honestly, too important I didn't,
to say something like that, you know?
Honestly, I think that's like a whole different thing. It's like, imagine being like a viewer and you see somebody else saying goodbye. Like, how does that make it feel like they're being too much of a attention whore?
If you feel not really. But somebody saying a greeting or a goodbye or anything else in chat, and that if that ruins your experience, maybe you're the attention whore. Honestly.
Yeah, maybe you are the...
Imagine being a control freak in someone else's chat. I can understand a VTuber or streamer not liking that somebody does something like every day, all the time, begging for attention, highlighting every single one of their lines so that they're in that stupid, ugly purple. You know, you should probably just disable that redeem anyways because it's ugly as hell and you can't even read what it says. But if you're always spamming emotes, you know, stuff like that, there's a lot of things that people will just not like that much. And if you feel that you need to have the control over that person in that way because it offends you in some way, you got to rethink about why they're there. They're there to watch you. They're there to support you. And if this is a person that you're viewing and supporting, why are you upset that somebody else is there viewing and supporting? This should be something you want.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a weird thing is that people always take things very negatively. They'll never see the positive side. Like we talked early on about how like if you interact with this person bigger than you, then there might be like a positive outcome. You don't always have to like see it as a like a negative that you're doing the same thing as them.
Yeah, absolutely. Or in some cases, somebody smaller than you would also be very beneficial. A lot of smaller VTubers I've noticed are very knowledgeable about particular topics, while a lot of larger ones are very, very not knowledgeable in anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all...
And that's why
all,
people watch them.
Right. I mean, they're all normal people. But yeah. Like, more importantly...
That's actually, like, such an important thing. They're just people.
They're, 100%.
You don't have to see that this person with like, I don't know, like 200 viewers, they're just the same. Like if you take those 200 viewers away, there's somebody you could probably see on the street.
Right. And like, even more importantly than that, it's like, there's just not a huge amount of delta between like 50 viewer Minecraft guy and like 500 viewer Minecraft guy. Like if you like took their names, you know, away from the channels and watched the streams, you might be hard pressed to find a difference most of the time.
The only difference that you should be able to perceive really is not the viewer count, but the speed of the chat.
Yeah.
If it's hard to talk in the chat, there's no reason to talk in the chat, honestly. Yeah. But if you have a 120 person view and you can actually talk in the chat, there's no reason to not talk in the chat.
Never sub, never have a Twitch account. no follow, never chat.
Yeah, if you just lurk, you shouldn't give a shit at all.
Right.
Yeah, the funniest thing is when I see people who lurk complain about things, and it's like, bro, yeah. you do it to yourself.
Yeah, like if you're being a control freak and you're a lurker, then you need to think about some things a little bit harder.
Although touching on this topic, though, there is something as a viewer that I've seen people complain about legitimately sometimes, is when that like 500 viewer... VTuber comes into the chat and the chat becomes about them, right? Or, you know, they kind of disrupt it in that fashion.
That does happen sometimes, but I usually don't see that happen, honestly. A lot of the time people are pretty cool about it.
I think it also depends on how the VTuber treats them. If you give them like, if you give them a show, they're gonna put on a show. Just treat them like any normal chatter, and that probably that's the way to go, honestly.
Yeah, there's just definitely this weird, I don't know where
that's
to
like,
place
and again
it
that's
too,
like
right?
another that's like another perception thing. It's like in the moment you realize that this person's huge, so your like perception of them is a little bit messed up.
Yeah, you'll see some VTuber, and I think this is a lot on how the VTuber, like you said, responds to it. Sometimes they get all like shocked and anxious or something, like, oh my god, X person's in my chat, you know.
Yeah, like, I think that's okay if they're like
stream.
A big fan. Like I've had people show up who I was a big fan of to my chat, and it was just like, oh hey, big fan by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks for the follow and all that good stuff, you know.
Yeah, and just leave but it at that.
I've,
you know?
I've definitely seen people like God, what's the word? I don't want to say that. They just really just freak out. Because it's like
just they start like fanboying or fangirling over
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can see as like if you were right, I'm enjoying them playing, you know, Fortnite or whatever. Ninja comes into the chat and then they stop playing for 10 minutes while they're like, you know, they're freaking out. And then like I can see how some people would be like annoyed by that, right?
I'm sure Ninja's annoyed. He just wants to watch the stream.
Right, but it's like
bro, why are you stopping the stream for 10 minutes? I want to watch. What the hell? Yeah,
the funny thing is that most of these people feel that way, and it's all like, it's all accidental from both sides. It's accidental that the person puts on like gathers attention, and it's accidental that the streamer is giving them more attention.
Like it does get to the point where some people do actually have viewer accounts, which is a ridiculous concept, honestly.
Yeah, I always thought it was ridiculous, but
yeah, like they go outside and they put on
and
the
in
hood.
Some cases they don't even talk in the chat, but people will see that their account is lurking and they'll freak out, they'll start posting it at other places, all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know how many times people have posted about Iron Mouse watching somebody in complete silence.
Yeah, or like yeah, we saw Mountain Dew in some random chat and we're like, oh, like the person didn't know because he didn't say anything, but after the fact they were freaking out.
Yeah.
Yep, and again, this all boils back to, you know, your viewer account being your where you're at in this like caste system, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but they forget that, you know, they're just like people too. It's the same way that like when people find out celebrities enjoy like normal stuff. it makes like news, and it's like, you know, you do realize they're just like normal people. Well, they're not normal people, but like they're still people.
Right. It's like, oh my god, I saw Keanu Reeves at the Wendy's. Right. It's like, well,
and it's like he has to eat. the guy has to eat.
Maybe he wants a Wendy's. Right. And I mean, I think adopting this viewpoint that would do wonders for like the socialization aspect. Right, of VTubing, because honestly, like I feel a lot of VTubers come into this for the social aspect, or that is a big chunk of the reason why they've started this. You know, some of them, you know, don't have an active social life. Some of it was like the pandemic and so on and so forth. And all this kind of stuff plays into it.
Yeah, plus it all being digital makes things a lot harder to, you know, visualize and.
Oh, absolutely. One of the other important things isn't just being able to visualize, though. It's the perception of how many people are in the room, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at VTubing as an example, if you were at school in high school and you were doing a presentation, you're doing this in front of like, what, 25 people usually?
Yeah. Yeah,
like none of them want to be there. Zero of them want to be there. They'd rather be outside away from you, honestly. Even your friends, they don't want to be there. They don't want to listen to your little presentation. But you have all these people sitting there wanting to listen to you and what you have to say about X thing. And it's not even something that's particularly interesting most of the time. It's usually just the video game.
Yeah. And it's like, I remember seeing somebody like being genuinely Manhara about like 105 viewers. And it's like, do you know 105 people in real life? Like, do you?
Yeah, but it's that's why this like number poisoning is so pervasive, because it happens at every level, right? It like this happens all the way down from the 2 views to, you know, I know people in the several hundred range that are like obsessed with how many viewers they have at any given moment. Where it's like, if I could fill up a stadium, I'd be ecstatic, you know? Like,
yeah.
Or an auditorium or whatever.
Yeah, and it's just really hard for some people to realize that. And I do really like the people who can kind of see that and appreciate what they have, even if it's just a small auditorium, like a bingo hall size.
The cafeteria.
Like a cafeteria size worth of audience. And it's still people.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly going to be more people than most people would talk to in a public setting in real life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, oh, just to speak on the, you know, in the immortal words of Jay-Z, you know, one of his tracks, he said, you know, you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. And I appreciate that. And I mean, like, you know.
Well, technically, I'm not here with you, but.
Well, I think it was like in the concert or something, you know, that was kind of the setting for it.
I don't want to be at the same room with any of these VTubers.
Yeah, but we were just talking, you know, virtual, you know, the virtual aspect of it. But it kind of works on two levels, right? It's not only that we're doing this over the internet, right? But it's also that this VTuber persona is also not real.
Yeah. Right?
It's not your real self. It's this character you've created. And most VTubers keep this barrier, you know, between the two, right? Where they won't share certain, you know, personal aspects about themselves.
Oh, so this is I just remember something that's like really funny. There was a guy that got upset that people like his VTuber persona more than him. he made like a tweet longer about how like people only want to hang out with I forgot his character's name, but he like people only want to hang out with my character's name and not me, the person behind the character, and that makes me like mad or whatever. And it's like, dude, what are you?
Damn, that means you did a good job.
Like you're good. That's a good thing. Imagine if also, why are you getting mad about that? Like,
I mean, that means you're a good actor, right?
Yeah, but some people get like
in a lot of cases though, people aren't really acting, and it's a very thin veneer.
Yeah.
So I think that in some cases it does make sense for him to be upset. I don't know which particular person this is, so I can't really give an example.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's also like that perception. It's like, you see somebody acting themselves and they're doing better than you, and you're putting on this like show, you kind of think like, should I be myself? Or
I think genuinity is one of the strongest tools for a VTuber. We could even pull out some examples from both the Corposphere and the Indosphere, for sure, because I really think that being able to do things like have your dad bring you food, for example, and just interrupt the stream slightly. Yeah. Just kind of in a clusterfucky way, that's something very powerful and is a lot more than putting on a character and making funny noises.
Yeah, I think this goes more into like content, but it's when people get
feel more attached, I think.
Yeah, that. But I was gonna say, people sometimes I see people feel very down about like their technical difficulties, and it's like, you should just embrace that. That makes you feel very human, that you're messing up and it's not perfect. Like, it's okay. Sometimes it might be like really terrible if you have like a hiccup on a stream that you're trying to fix and you can't fix it, and you have to like can't change the plans and stuff like that. That might be a little bit problematic, but at the same time, if you can't just hung.
Honestly, a big part of that, I think, is learning to roll with the punches.
Yeah.
If you can fail in a comedic way, that's content.
Yeah. And like not everything is like perfect either, but it's how you keep it rolling is really important.
I mean, scuff can be endearing. It can be fun. Yeah. It can actually generate content for you.
If you get 100%. Like, if you get scuff and then you're like, this stream sucks, I can't believe that this happened, I'm sorry guys, I have to like cancel, you just start like being Manhera, it's gonna make people kind of like,
it's gonna they're make gonna people feel awkward and they're not gonna want to come back. That's all it does.
Yeah,
but if you own it and you're just like, yeah, this is great, I had a great time, they're gonna be like, oh, what a good sport.
Yeah, like, yeah, we didn't get what we came here for, but we still got you.
Yeah,
and it, like,
you should always have a backup plan anyways.
Mm-hmm. And I think the humanization factor is a big thing, you know, same with their like, you know, dad bringing them food. It's just like makes them seem more relatable, more human.
It's like, oh, hey, when I lived at home, my dad would barge in when I'm talking to my friends.
Yeah.
Like, something that was really cool. And I was thinking about it earlier, but it's like, that kind of thing tells a story, too. That kind of thing keeps your viewers a little bit more engaged, because even if you don't actively watch that person, if you hear about it, you're going to realize, you're going to think like, oh, that's really cool. And you're going to think about that moment. And you can tell that to other people. And that's like something that you can.
Yeah, we can turn it into a clip. It can go on, you know, it can go on Twitter or something like that. And it's something that, you know, just happened completely organically. But going back to a second, you know, the guy who, you know, was complaining that people like his VTuber persona more than his real one. I do wonder, like Abunzel says, like how much of himself, you know, he put into it, right? Was he putting on a show or was he like
a his character is like a rich casino owner guy or something. Yeah, it was like completely unrealistic, but it's like, it's like, or to relate to like reality TV or something, it's like those people, if they were just themselves, it probably wouldn't be as entertaining as
them. I know which guy you're talking about now. Is this the same guy who also complained that people wouldn't donate to him because his character was rich?
Yeah, he's the bald guy. What's his name? Like, I don't remember his name.
I just remember that happened. And that was the weirdest thing to me. And it's like, there are a lot of unexpected things that you might have happen because of the way that you make your character.
That's like, this so is another funny thing.
Like you are not in control of your audience. You're not in control of how your audience perceives you. But if you have the ability to make changes to your content, that means you can affect them a little bit. Now, if you make your character a super rich, posh person, yes, you're probably not going to get a ton of donations. That's probably the case. If you make yourself a mommy character, you're probably going to get people in your chat calling you mommy. Don't complain about it. Yeah. Just own it. You cause this to yourself.
Oh yeah, I mean, we can go, there's a whole rabbit hole.
There's a whole rabbit hole with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what people perceive you as initially sticks with them forever. Or not forever, but like it's going to stick with them for a really long time. Like, to me, that guy is still just like the rich guy who complained about people thinking that the rich guy, like the fake rich guy, is better than like the very real not rich guy.
But here's the other thing. Yeah. You remember who he is. That's huge.
Yeah.
There are so many people that I've seen who I don't remember at all. But for some reason, he sticks in my head because he had this weird situation around him.
Yeah.
Even if you have these problems, your branding is stuck in my head because of these problems.
Still can't come up with his name, though. But
are you saying there's no such thing as bad publicity?
I would have to look for him. Sorry?
Are you saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity?
I wouldn't even say that there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's just that your perceived branding is much stronger than your advertising or your numbers.
Like, I remember thinking back in like 2020 that all these people with like the super super professional branding is like very cool people. And then I'm like, these guys are losers. These guys get no numbers. They're just on Twitter all day. It sucks. They're like boring as hell. Like, what you see first of a person really sticks out with you. And I think that's but it's also like very intricate. Like, so even something as simple as a tagline might make people think a certain way.
Yeah, that's huge. Like, if you also think about it, the first impression of many VTubers you see isn't you like watching their stream necessarily, right? No. It's, you know, it's like a social media post or a clip or something like that. It's like a very, you know, small representation of who they are.
Some people have a design that would just stick in my head. I'll never watch them. I don't know what they're like, but that's how powerful like those things can be. Is that I see that you got some really nice art, and that's just how I just know you now.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, there's like a million filters before you actually get to the point where you watch the stream and decide if you like it or not, right?
Yeah.
And like, you often see their model, you often see their like Twitter page or something, maybe see a couple of their posts, see if they vibe, you know, you'll see what games they like to stream and play. Like, there's a million things that can check me out of a VTuber before I even get to the point where my eyeballs are in the stream.
Your profile picture. I click on
on the, like the Twitch sidebar, I'll click on profile pictures that I've never seen before or look interesting.
So many things, which is crazy, right? Because
some of these things you don't even think about.
Right. Absolutely. And here's the other thing about that. Not everyone will use social media or any type of media in the same way. Yeah. So I always hear people saying that you need to make clips, you need to do this and that. But you know how many clips I watch before I pick up YouTube? I watch like 450 people. I never look at clips, not unless I'm trying to show them to somebody else.
Exactly. Like, and there are some people that, like when I first start watching VTubers, I only watched clips. Like, I didn't even watch streams.
And like the whole thing about clips too is that it goes back to what we just talked about, like initial perception or like initial impression. Like if I see a clip and it's like you being horny or whatever, I'm not gonna fucking watch you. It's boring. Even though like that's unfortunately the only time that you were like being lewd, and every other time you're this awesome, really like cool, awesome VTuber that, I don't know, plays good games.
I mean, I've heard some VTubers complain about this. It's like, oh, my clip or whatever, a tweet that went viral was me like, you know, like farting on the stream or something, you know, like just something like like stupid, right? Like, and that's, you know, that's what people think of
that's
them
you
now.
Forever now.
Yeah, this is a common problem too. Even for just that particular case, I can think of at least 5 different people who've had that exact same thing happen.
Right. It's very, very common. And it's hard to like get rid of that too. Right.
Yeah. You really got to put your foot down. But that goes to like another thing is that people are scared of bleeding viewers. And, you know.
I've seen people do ridiculous things. Yeah.
It's really hard to see the bigger picture, but it's also really hard. Sometimes it's hard to see the bigger and smaller picture.
Yeah, I find it especially strange when people try to double down on certain types of attention, though. Like that one that tried to double down on that. We won't get too far into that, I don't think, though.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about.
But you'll have people cling. You brought up a good point. It's like sometimes they'll cling on to viewers they have, even when it like that viewer is not a great person, right? They're like,
yes,
like disruptive or something, but they don't want to ban them. They don't want to kick them or time them out because it's like, oh, they're one of my regulars. You know, I can't afford to lose them. And that's like a very toxic, you know.
But then the thing is, their other viewers see this person and they don't like them either. And then they leave.
Right.
So all you're left with is this one person and his 3 or 4 friends, and you don't like any of them anymore. And then you don't like the community.
Really,
and then what's the point anymore? You know, that's what happens. I've had other endeavors where the target audience was entirely replaced by another audience that moved in. It's terrible. It can absolutely happen if you are not diligent.
Oh yeah, I've definitely seen that happen a couple of times, where it's like, oh, my audience completely changed, you know, and I hate, I mean, sometimes the VTubers hate their new audience, right? But there was something that triggered it. Like there's some, they either started like changing their content up or schedule up, or they just allowed a certain subset of their chat to, you know, overwhelm another portion of their community.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you are not in control of your viewership, not very much at least. But what you can control, you should absolutely make use of. So raids, moderation, what kind of content you put out, those are the things you can control. Anything else is out of your hands. So you need to make sure that you are taking control of what you can.
I also think environment is a important thing. I know some people who will double down on like certain aspects because they realize that realistically their viewers cannot touch them in any way. Like they could completely ignore all the weirdness and all the people that they don't like, and then they could keep cycling out more viewers based on, or like they keep cycling out viewers and like gaining more viewers, gaining viewers faster than they're bleeding and stuff like that. Because I know I know there's
that's
like
definitely
some
a valid method for sure.
Yeah, I know there's like some chick who gave up doing like the thing that she was good at because she got weirded out by people, but she was also in a position to like kind of ignore that.
So
it didn't. Well, I think that if you're doing this as a hobby, especially if you start doing things that you do not feel comfortable with, you're not going to enjoy it anymore.
But she was like corporate. So that's the thing about environment where it's like, I think in her situation, she could have gotten away with if she wasn't like uncomfortable with it, she could have gotten away with, if she wasn't uncomfortable with the thing that she was doing and not like, you know, being uncomfortable with other people, she could have gotten away with just keep doing that thing and cycling out.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is like ASMR related or something similar.
Yeah, it's a GFE.
Okay.
So yeah, you know.
Yeah, GFE is a whole other can of worms. Simulating any kind of experience, especially ones where where it could be particularly seen as manipulative, I think is a bit of a dodgier topic to get into.
Man, it's funny. This has like a lot of different aspects of it, right? Because there are the VTubers who will just see that they're, you know, VTubers like a certain type of content, like ASMR or something like that, and will do it more even if it's not something they would need to like normally do. And at some point they have to balance between, you know, making content because they like making the content versus making content because they think it will make their viewers happy or think it will bring in more audiences. Yeah. And it's a really, really...
Meeting the demand with the supply. But sometimes I mean, the thing is, it's like after a certain point, sometimes you gotta do things for yourself. And
but this is where
it can be hard if you're not in a situation where you can afford that.
Well, I mean, yeah, this goes right into the hobby, you know, versus career type of thing, right? If you're doing VTubing mostly as a hobby on the side, you don't have to care about, you know, if doing this, you know, will drive away viewers or whatever, and I might make a little less money, no big deal, right? But if VTubing is your career, suddenly you have to make these decisions, right? That's your food on your table, that's your rent, right? Yeah. You might have to start doing things you dislike because it brings in the viewers or keeps the ones you already have.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like music or movies, it's like, or games, anything. You make these things that I don't want to say snobs, but like the people who actually like, they're like, you know, they're not like surface level enjoyers or something.
Yeah, it becomes less passion, more project.
Yeah, but you know, you're on a record label, you have to make the numbers, you got to do what you have to do.
Yeah, you got to release albums, right? You can't just sit there forever.
Yeah, you got to release albums that will sell. You can't just be like, hey, I'm going to change my sound completely because I don't like what I'm doing. You're going to get fucking canned.
I mean, one hit wonder is, you know, very much a real thing.
No, yeah, but that's also like
a
completely different thing.
I don't know if that's a very different thing.
Well, yeah, actually, there are people who blew up on like one certain thing.
Yeah, and one single clip or something.
And then they never got that hype again.
Right, because the rest 100%. Of their content wasn't like that, or you know,
there
was
the
height like, of their, you know,
if you blow up on one clip, that you could just be the equivalent of a cult classic song.
Yeah,
that's actually really weird to think about now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But definitely, like on this career focus thing, I think maybe this is just my perception, but I think way too many VTubers are treating it like a job instead of treating it like a hobby.
Yes,
I think
they're treating it as a job before they even get before they even get hired,
right? Or they're just before they even make a wage, you know, or even like a minimum wage, you know.
It's like, being the guy at Best Buy who's helping customers for no reason.
I wouldn't even go that far. I will say that there is a bit of an equivalency here. I used to do a lot of passion projects. One of the passion projects I did was about 8 years I was programming for a video game. And that didn't exactly go anywhere. And I don't think it's ever going to go anywhere. I still do it sometimes. But there's no guarantee that anybody who puts in all of their heart and all their effort into playing video games as an anime character is really going to go anywhere with it. It's a risk. And you're spending a lot of time taking that risk.
honestly, I would say the odds are against you. Like the vast majority of YouTubers will, I won't even say would make like minimum wage off their,
absolutely,
off their
yeah, it's like a real efforts. Like 5%, like 5%. 5 to 10%, because you know things are growing.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it something like 500 subs or something to make like minimum wage a month?
Yeah,
like I would have to do the math on that, but it's something ridiculous, and it's just like, man, I don't know how many most of these people get during a subathon.
Yeah,
but like I don't think it's that much.
500 is like some people cap out at that. Like some people like put some people put their final goal at 500.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at 500, you're at the top crust for being anyone not in a major corporation, right? Like,
there's like another thing that you could go with this. Some people are really good at making money, but they don't have like good numbers. Cause I know Poppy Fubar makes a ton of money, but his numbers aren't that great. So, you know, perception, reality kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that also goes into, I think we wanted to cover a little bit about like artists and stuff for VTubing. So a lot of artists will be sitting under like 40 viewers or something, but they'll also be doing commissions while they're on stream. So they're double dipping in content.
Yeah, they're getting the subs and they're getting the bits, but they're also doing their job on stream, and that probably pays a lot too.
So like I can absolutely think of a few examples.
Yeah, and I mean, like the big riggers like Dairiku or is that their name? Or like Twin Tails, and it's like they're on stream 10 hours doing what they're doing, and they're getting all this like these gift subs, they're getting donations, they're getting bits. And then they're finished with their job and they get like $5,000 from their client. Then
at the very end of the day, when you look at it again, when they're double dipping, all they're really doing is streaming to advertise what they do.
Yeah. Like it's like the thing is, they would probably, most of them don't even talk or most of them don't even interact. And it's perfectly fine for them not to, which is very,
odd.
I mean, it's big brained. I mean,
well, it's like it's crazy that like just because you're streaming your work, people are like immediately like, hey, yeah, okay, this person's probably not gonna talk to me that much.
I mean, but a lot of people watch, you know, just like regular like Twitch streamers that are just really good at games, right? And that person is not gonna talk to you while they're playing, you know, like Dota or like Fortnite, 100%. Like, right?
Yeah, like a speedrunner is, or like a fighting game player, they're not gonna be talking unless they're in between matches or there's like a small grace period or something.
Right, but people watch them because they like seeing, you know, a master at work.
Yeah, and like the same thing with like the fighting game guys, they'll stream their tournament, and if they win, that's like extra earning on them streaming it is just extra money.
Right, because they barely have to interact. And honestly, a lot of these people, like you said, who have the alternate sources of income, the Twitch, you know, income is often like on the lower end of what they're getting from their you know, side hustles, you know?
Yeah, and I think that people are very, it goes back to like that perception thing, is that some people don't realize that some people are running a business on top of being an entertainer. So the way they conduct themselves is completely different. And you can't expect that. You can't expect everybody to act the same, even though it's a community.
Right. Yeah. But definitely my advice to a lot of YouTubers is don't consider it as a career until you're way, way up there. You know, consider doing these side projects as primary income or just have a day job, because I believe it's like, at the end of the day, it's like stress, right? If you treat VTubing as a job, you're going to perceive it differently. It's going to be a lot of stress over numbers, stress over viewership, subs, content, or whatever.
Yeah, when I was young, when I was young working at GameStop, I fucking hated video games. You spend like 10 hours a day like selling somebody a video game, you go home, I don't even want to fucking look at that thing.
Right. And that can come across, since you're an entertainer, that can come across, you know, the stress and, you know, and the like Minharinous will definitely come across in your streams.
Yeah. Burnout is real. Like we didn't bring that up, but no, you artists and everybody gets burnout.
Yeah, you can absolutely be burnt out before you even hit the go live button. There's a lot of off-stream work that you often do that people don't even realize. A lot of people don't update their transitions or anything for months at a time or years at a time even. But if you're putting in a high effort production, you put in a lot of work off screen.
Oh, definitely. And one of the another big pitfalls I see, which causes people a lot of grief, is, you know, they'll spend 8 hours, you know, working on it, like overlay art, you know, alerts and everything like that, and they won't get any extra viewership out of it. And it does make sense in a way. Like we were just talking about, there's so many steps before you actually get to watching the stream that a potential viewer might go through. So this level of effort doesn't cleanly like translate into increased viewership.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a lot of cases, people will also just be like, oh, I don't want to spend that time. So they'll put in money instead and then spend, you know, $2,000 on a model and all these things.
Yeah.
And then be like, why am I not at least 50 plus when they're just not even advertising themselves?
You gotta
There's
do
so many issues that you can fail.
You got to do things for yourself as well. Like,
yeah, like if you're doing it as a passion project because you enjoy it, that's entirely different than if you're doing it because you think that you want to have big number.
Yeah, and you'll get it into your head that, okay, I want to increase my number. I'm going to be I'll copy someone else that, you know, that's doing really well that I like a lot and try to do what they do, and then wonder why you're failing at it, right? It's just, this is not a good way to go across it. You'll just go crazy trying to do that.
I do think that that kind of goes back into demystifying big number versus small number. Because I do believe that one person can do anything that someone else can do. If it's been done once, it can be done again. But if you are trying to do what somebody else has done and they're still continuously producing content, going ahead, you're not going to catch up to them because they're running ahead of you already.
Yeah.
So making those kind of comparisons is kind of just hurting yourself in a lot of ways.
Well, it's not even that, because I think, you know, we've definitely seen people overtake each other in this business, but it's just not the same for everyone, right? Your viewership is much more marketing than your content.
In many cases, when somebody overtakes someone else, it's because that other person screwed up really badly.
Yeah.
And they were able to take their audience in a lot of cases because they were the second choice. So once the first choice becomes an unpalatable choice, the second person takes
just
over.
Just let it all out.
I'm not gonna lie. I am following Shy Lily. I'm not following
Bebe. I like
Bebe.
That bitch, but she's dumb as hell.
I just think she's cuter, and I follow
the fucking ball.
I mean,
I don't typically watch large streamers, but I have sat through a couple of Shy Lily streams. She's cuter.
I mean, I've watched a couple of Shy Lily streams way before this stuff, all the drama happened. But there's definitely, like, you know, Bunzel, like, great point. There's definitely been streamers that sabotage themselves, right? They've done something,
yes,
you know, turns off a ton of their viewer base, and they're going to go over to the new hotness or whatever. But most of these were own goals. They're self-inflicted wounds. They just did something that, you know, that they didn't have to do. It was an unforced error, and they basically had the rug pulled under them.
And in some cases, they advertised their competition.
I think
that's a huge mistake. Absolutely.
Mistake, because, like, it's not only advertising your competition, but you also have to do something to make your loyal viewers go away, right? Like, it has to be a combination of these things.
Well, it's not hard for her. I did say
earlier that people will cycle back in, but I don't think that that's always going to be the case if you're at the very top of things. The very top of things, you are trying to stay at the top of things by keeping people there, keeping them secluded. That's what happens. People see big number, they click big number, they stay on big number. That happens in every industry, from game servers to VTubing to streaming to ratings in the polls. If you look at movie ratings, people will look at the top rated. Actually, if you were to look at myanimelist.com and look at any anime that is 7 or above, you'll find that there's a lot more ratings on that than anything that is at 6.9. I find that most of the good anime are actually sitting at 6.9 because nobody watches anything above it.
Yeah.
That's a whole other can of worms, but I just wanted to mention that. I enjoy it so much.
I mean, humans are herd animals, you know? Like, we love to bandwagon on stuff. There's just like this perception of like, if more people are watching something, it has to be better. Like, it's just like wired into our animal brain.
But I do think that like, if you should stop worrying so much about other people. Be attentive of what other people are doing, but don't worry about them. Worry about yourself.
Absolutely. Worry only about your own perception of something, because it doesn't matter. None of it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get into comparing yourself, like keeping up with the Joneses constantly, it's just going to be like, it's just like a bad mental spiral. You're just causing yourself grief. And unfortunately, I know a bunch of YouTubers who are like, you know, these are my peers and they're doing better than me or whatever. And they just get really, really down in the dumps about it. And it's like,
I was like, isn't like Bebe Ban? She's going to come back to a very rude number. Shadow Lily's going to take all that shit.
It's funny because I couldn't.
Why did she get banned? Was it because of her new model?
No, she was watching something and like a dragon dildo showed up. Or, that's what I heard.
Oh, jeez. I was kind of hoping it was the new model because it was a little bit racy. And I've seen somebody get banned on their debut for a racy model.
Man, I've seen YouTube go like fucking crazy with like, you know, the algorithm banning people for showing, you know, some skin or something like that. Well, on their 2D model.
Well, Soda Poppin' got banned for an even funnier reason, so... Whatever, they're enjoying their vacation. They'll probably get back to like a...
Oh my, you guys are just so much into the tabloid stuff. It's insane.
Shut up, dude. This whole thing is a tabloid. We're talking about like people's mental state and shit.
I'm honestly not into the tabloids. I tend to avoid most of that.
Yeah, we can
it
make
is funny
fun
when
we
it comes
make,
up though.
We can make fun of them because they're the top dogs. They don't have to give a shit.
They'll never see this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're looking right now.
Oh no, they're looking come on
right
to the
now.
Pod, please. This is a formal invitation.
I'm gonna get a twit longer about this. I just
don't
this
goes worry. Out to everybody who
if she just... ever hears this, she will be mad about it and she'll advertise this to everyone.
Yeah, we're gonna incline like crazy, dude. You're gonna be like, these retards, these four... Okay, oh, I can't say that. These four idiots are well, there's three, but talking mad shit about me. Come check out their show and listen to the things that they said about me and then. Comment and
we'll just have to come on Viewer Town. Just like, come on down to Viewer Town. We'll have you on the show.
I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna tell them that they're all wrong. So tune in.
I mean, controversy does sell.
Yeah, why aren't we like a drama podcast then?
Because we're not trying to. Because this is a hobby of mine and not a career.
I mean, you
that's
turn
an
it
entirely fair point.
Yeah, but we just talked about how you could turn your hobby into a career.
Imagine the stress, though. Is it really worth it for a passion project?
Man, if my paycheck was coming from making a podcast about VTubers, I would be under so much stress, like,
why,
constantly.
Why? It's okay. We'll cycle stress like we cycle viewers.
Cycle viewers. Oh, man.
I'll feel Manhara 1 week, and then you can... feel Manhara next week. It's best when Pureblood feels Manhara because he doesn't. Oh wait, no, that's bad because none of the episodes will come out.
Oh no. Is that why you guys are always late?
Hey, we're consistent this time.
Yeah, we're on a tight schedule.
Yeah,
every other Wednesday.
The end of the episode, so, you know. Or that's how you know it's the end of the episode. We start fucking rambling. But, any last comments about, you know, YouTuber mental health, YouTuber perceptions, the community.
Speaking of the VTuber community, Viewer Town will be at the Off-Kai Expo. I think by the time you listen to this...
Off-Kai episode.
The Off-Kai Expo would have started at San Jose. So if you see someone with Viewer Town stickers or anything like that, you know, just stop by. We'll be handing them out for free.
Wait, is this week?
Oh, by the time they listen to this.
No, isn't this coming out on, like, Wednesdays?
Isn't it on the 29th?
Oh, it's going to be over! Yeah, my bad!
Yeah!
Okay, never mind. Okay, cut that out, Pureblood. Holy
don't
shit.
Cut that out.
scuff is endearing, but you can keep going with your fucking
That was all the show was gonna be, that we're gonna be at Off-Guy.
Well, the people that listen to this show physically cannot visit Off-Guy because they're like in third world countries or like a
by the time you listen to this, if you have access to a time machine, please go and go to Off-Guy. Anything else? You know, Bunzel, you know, thank you for joining us today. If anyone wants to check out his channel, it's like Bunzel _ CH, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Sorry, I'm just thinking like they're gonna show up to that channel and there's like nothing there because he hasn't streamed in like weeks.
I was actually planning on streaming tomorrow.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
And thanks for listening to Viewertown. This has been your host, Mighty Germ.
I'm the host. What are you talking about? I did the opening. You're a co-host now, dude.
This has been your co-host, Mighty Germ.
Yeah, that's right. Do the outro.
You know, along with Airplane Gorilla and our guest, Bunzel. And we'll see you next time.